Halacha Bish. Where did the idea of Machapen Nusoy come from? It came from the fact that a person who cooks something, Machapen Nusoy, is Chayav. So if the first person who cooked it, he happened to cook it on a Friday night. Maybe not. But that's the final case. One guy cooked it on a Friday night, and we eat Machapen Nusoy, he's Chayav. Now Shabbos morning, I cook it cold turkey. But the two Rishon, one guy, one second, not a Russian. The first guy cooks it from raw to Machapen Nusoy. Ain Bishal Achapish. Where did the idea of Machapen Nusoy come from? It came from the fact that a person who cooks something to Machapen Nusoy is Chayav. So the first person who cooked it, he happened to cook it on a Friday. Maybe not, but that's the final case. One guy cooked it on a Friday night. Now Shabbos morning, I cook it cold turkey. But the two Rishon, one guy, one second, not a Russian. The first guy cooks it from raw to Machapen Nusoy. On Friday night, he's tired. The next guy cooks it from Machapen Nusoy to fully cook on Shabbos morning. So according to the Rashi, he's potter. Why? Because the first guy's already tired. Make two guys tired from the same mission. I don't mean it in the literal sense. The first one could have done it on Friday as well. And she didn't arrive. And Rama says no. All these levushal called Tzor. So what are they fighting about? Very important dispute. The Rama, in the very same sentence, when he talks about Dovah Shem levushal called Tzor, being partner in Per Ketel of Gimel, the Shabbos, throws in, Ho Dovah She'ein Ot Tzor Vishal Klal. Put it in the same sentence. It's noteworthy. Because not halacha, halacha gimel, the word potter appears three or four times. This is potter, and this is potter, and this is potter. And someone who's mevashal, dovash and mevushal called tzorko, and tzorko mevushal klal is potter. Didn't even bother putting the word potter in twice. Put that in a fifth time. So the clear implication of the Rambam is that these two halachas are connected. It's a connection between ein bishal achabishal and ein bishal bedavar she'ein a tzorko mevushal klal. I believe the answer is as follows. It's connected as follows. The chiyuv of bishul applies only when you are fixing up the food, making it better, making it more edible. But ain't bishul ach bishul, because even before you got into the act, before you did your act of cooking on Shabbos, it was edible based upon the original bishul. So therefore, the Rambam came up with this chiddush, just like we have a Mishnah. Ein bishul ach bishul, so too it stands to reason that ein bishul for some item which does not require bishul. Same concept. And then we put them in the same breath. If that's the case, Rabbi Osai, we speak about something which does not require bishul at all. What do we mean? Literally, it doesn't require bishul at all. Absolutely, the bishul is not really going to make it any better. Who said so? Bishar Atziyun. Simon Shin Yud Ches of Kot Kuf Yud Dalet says so. As opposed to a fruit which could be eaten in its raw state, but somehow better when it's cooked. But that such a fruit would exist. Some suggested peaches, maybe canned peaches or cooked peaches are better. So then, according to the Bishar Atziyun's reading of the Rambam, you would be Chayim. Fine. The Razvaz in the Tshuva says no. That when the Rambam says your potter on any food which is could be eaten raw, he meant it even if you improve the food. And the Mekeves HaMishnah on that Rambam gives an explicit reference to another place where the expression of Nechal Chai is found by Bishalakam. No Bishalakam by Nechal Chai. Same thing applies over here. A much more dramatic reading of the Rambam. And the Razvaz brought a raya from the Rajma. Because the Rajma says, that once it reaches Machal Ben Nusoy and Jesse James can eat it, there's no Bishul Min HaTorah. Kal V'chomer, peaches, They give out the kippur there at 4 o'clock, peaches. Raw peaches. Then they give you the supper at 6 o'clock, they give you fancy stuff. 7 o'clock, they give you cooked peaches. That's part of the real meal. But we're not Jesse James over here, we're on the run from the law. We're all eating the fresh, uncooked peaches. The kavakai. Drive by says. Clearly, the Radvaz is working exclusively in terms of tikkun. What's a greater improvement? However, it seems that one could argue very strongly on the Radvaz's proof and say, you're bringing me a right from the Shita Rashba. The Rashba holds that ain bishul acha bishul from the moment that it reaches Machal Ben Zoy. And this is going to tell you about peaches. Chas v'shol. Lo karav zelze. Why? Because while the Rambam understands a bishul acha bishul to be what we call a metzias, you can't kill a dead dog, you can't cook a cooked piece of chicken. It's cooked, it's cooked. You can't cook it a second time. That's why bishul acha bishul is what we call a metzias. And therefore, if it's not fully cooked, you would be chayav. But the Rashba clearly can't learn this way. The Rashba learned, again, the Pashtas, that ein bishul acha bishul is a halacha. So once in a halachic cooking process, you would no longer be chayev if you cooked it a second time, because there already was a halachic cooking on this particular food. If that's the case, Rabbi Osai, it would appear pukfaker. But according to the Rashba, if someone had food which was raw, never cooked before, and you cooked it on Shabbos, even though it could have readily been eaten in its raw state, you would be chayav. For carrot, the Rashba could be a bigger machmer than the Rambam. The Radvaz assumed the Rashba is a bigger megel, since he's the one who's the name Mishlach HaBishol, but the point of Machmer Ben Usoi, he's a bigger megel over here as well. Wrong. It's a bigger mankel because in Machal Ben Bishol is a halacha cooking. But over here, I had no halacha cooking beforehand, then the principle of Ein Bishol Acha Bishol would not apply. Everybody got it straight? The Kitzer, the Machlokas, the Rambam, and the Rashba. As at what point we supply the principle of Ein Bishol Acha Bishol? The Rambam says a little called Tzarko. The Rashba says Machal Ben Bishol. That's what Furish. What are they fighting about? We thought they're fighting about a very lovdisha point. According to the Rambam, we called it a metzias. And Mishlach HaMishl is already cooked, so he took it again. It's nothing. And that's why you need called tzarka before Shabbos. According to the Rambam, it's a halacha. That if it's already been cooked halachically, and the first person did an act which would have been made him, which either made him chayav on Shabbos or would have made him chayav on a bit Shabbos. So you can't be chayav a second person for the cook the same piece of food. Not enough to be to drink for a normal person. Shalom number two is that you had a cup of tea. Forget about it. You got the new model. What's it called? What's the official name for it? We'll call it the Blechner model. So if you want to get it, you can speak of their own and get it buy it from Boston. Or Japan. So or Borough Park. So but you don't use that model, or you use a plain old fashioned tea kettle. Good. It's really hot. I want another cup of tea. And on the bottom I have some droplets. I can't steal it. May I have more on those droplets? The Chazanish says mutter. Why is it mutter? The whole thing is a chumra b'yalma anyway. Mishum ha-shas ha-psara. Then everyone will mach by a few little drops. But we're saying now that it's Hasam ha-torah. Kwadra ramah. If it's down in the gamre, which these few drops are, you have big problems. So in both cases, we try to come up with extra side points to be made. When you get to the side points, you have to watch out. For example, situation below Nichole. Question whether that's true or not. If you really want the water, the two drops to be hot, you wouldn't want to have cold drops to get a second cup of tea. You really want the water from the tube to become as equally hot with the water in the in the main body, so you shouldn't have lukewarm droplets in your, you know, in currents in your teacups. That's how posh this noni chalek. And the body says grama, we had pointed out, it's really not grama. What else do we have? Yes, yes, in the case of the teacup, we have something else. Iwi, when you have iwi al gabe lach, this grounds the gnegel. That's only, that was only works for the teacup shell, not for the urn shell. Then we have what we call the sub integration. Oh, what sub integration? Some folks can say, ain't bishlach a bishop with a holach by the teacup. So it's only a suffix and a integration, but she pays it to make. Would that work in the case of the urn? It's not Iwi, it's on fire. The urn is in some cases even worse. Just letting you know, I detached my urn, I told you. I detached my tube. And I was afraid to learn. I'm only using myself. Okay. One more nakuda for today, and then we'll stop. And that is, how do you define Yatzel Eretzbuch? Keep talking, I bit my tongue a few times. What is Yatzel Eretzbuch? Well, Rabbi Ayda Sefer for Shabbos estimates range from 98.6 to 175. Wow. So we extreme views, well, it's a streamline. Let's assume, let's say, from 113 to 160. You want to be liberal, then from 120 to 160. But that's how you can't cut it. Gosh. How can I be fighting by such a broad range? 40 degrees? What's going on in there? This is a machlokas apostle, I told the Pentagon of machlokas in the Rishon. Does a person drink and bathe in Yad Soledas by water? Yes or no? Yes or no? The Rashba says no. A person wouldn't bathe in water of Yad Soledas, wouldn't drink water of Yad Soledas. Obviously, the Rashba is a very high definition of Yad Soledas. The Rambam and the Balamor apparently hold the Sugya Brachitza, our Sugya, we just learned, never been bathed, seem to learn that a person would bathe in water, which is Yad Soledas Bo. For the Shana Bishul, not only of a Brachitza, but there is a Balam. Clearly they have a much lower definition of Yad Soledas Bo. So what are they fighting about? So I thought to find out the following point. According to the Rambam and the Balamor, Yad Soledas Bo is referring to a person who is not expecting this degree of heat. It's a very low temperature. But when you prepare yourself, you can and you do drink Yatza lettuce bowl water. Or bathe Yatza lettuce bowl water. Whereas the Ramban and the Rashba say no. They define Yatza lettuce bowl as a person who was expecting it. He knows it. It's coming. And he still can't handle it. By definition, he can't bathe it, he can't drink it. Big time upload. I say that easily a 40 degree range over there. Easily. Easily. I made a ha'ara that the Gemara has that Yatza Lettuce Bo is hard to estimate, so we move to Tinek Nichvas Bo. Why is it hard to estimate? So Rashi says, well, it's not the same by all people. But what he like the Ramban and the Rashba, that you're preparing yourself for it. So therefore the experiment can easily be done. Only reason why it's a bad shiur is because it varies from person to person. But according to the Balamon and the Ramban, we can say they changed from the Yatzaleta to the Tinek Nichvas. Because even the experiment is very hard to do. You do it, a person who's not expecting it. And you know, he's expecting it. I mean, he may recoil just from the wetness itself, not from the heat. It's very hard to figure it out. That's what I thought the machlokes was all about. We're after the machlokes on both ends. We don't know who's right. But both said we gave an introduction today to the laws of Bishul. Now for those who were here the first week or two, it was a very good chazara to put things in perspective. Those who are not here, I have to send them an apology because it may go up probably much too quickly for you, but on the other hand, if you can come and we're saying, it's a little bit, we can do it fundamentals of the laws of Bishul. Tomorrow, we'll continue with the Chazal. Thank you.